What's up, y'all? Welcome to the Sports Medicine Broadcast Listener Spotlight Series. We are highlighting John Seiko. He was recently with us talking about mental health and drug abuse and all the great things they're doing there in his neighborhood and his school. And so check out that episode. Hear John talk about some of the things that they're doing and ways that you can do it as well. But this episode is just to highlight you, John, as a listener and participant of the Sports Medicine Broadcast. So how many years have you been in the profession of athletic training?
10 years, going on 11 years, yeah.
All right, so you're almost finished with your 11th?
Almost finished with my 10th.
Almost finished, okay, gotcha.
Yeah.
So I'm just about to finish my 12th, so okay. Gotcha. All right, and then how did you get there? So where did you learn about athletic training?
So I learned about athletic training. I went to college to play football. I didn't have a degree path or anything like that. I went... I got a scholarship to play football at Albion College. Well, scholarships in Division III, but offered a position, and I started playing football there. I got injured about week three of my freshman year, and I started spending a ton of time in the athletic training room. And I always knew I wanted to be around sports, whether it be a coach or something like that. So I started doing rehab to get better, and eventually just kind of start hanging out a little bit more. Took the intro class that next semester of my freshman year, and then after that went to California University of Pennsylvania to get my master's degree. And soon after there, I took a position at Oakland University. It's a Division I school just north of Detroit here. And I was there for about 4 years, and then I left to start working in the high school. I figured the high school would be a little bit better suited for me, time-wise, be able to go home every night, don't have to be there for 15, 16 hours a day, and the travel was starting to get a little crazy for me at the time. So I took a step back, started working in the high school, and I've been here for 6 years, just now finishing my sixth year here at the high school, so really enjoy it. And, hopefully continue on.
All right. And then last time we talked, you also told me you were involved with several other things outside of the high school, the normal high school job. Why don't you talk a little bit about those?
So on the outside, I guess I have two other positions. I work with the Michigan Bucks. It's a semi-professional soccer team. We just started our season last Wednesday, and we're going to start our league season here on Saturday. So a little involved with those guys. It's a lot of fun. It's a lot more intense than the high school sports, but I get to step away from it as well, so it's not too intense for me. I still have a lot of fun with that. And then I work with the Birmingham Bloomfield Community Coalition. It's a substance abuse prevention outfit here in Michigan. It covers, I always forget this number, I think we have 11 high schools in our outreach area. So we do a lot of drug prevention stuff. We do a lot of mental health training now. Kind of the way things are going with substance abuse and all that stuff, it's really moving towards mental health and kind of under that umbrella of mental health awareness and where the money's coming from at the federal level. So we do a lot of stuff with, like I said, drug prevention and mental health training too.
All right, so I remember seeing that this is a National Mental Health Month or something like that from the NATA. You got any blog posts or anything going on there?
No, you know what? To be honest, I didn't know it was Mental Health Month, to be quite fair. I kind of wish the NATA would do more, whether it's just me being way too busy and haven't been able to read too much. But from what I have been able to read and look up, they've been having some really good posts on there. So me personally, no, I haven't. I've been working on with the coalition. We've started working on a concussion post, and I feel like this thing will never get done. It's just I never have time to sit down and write and do research for it. Or if I do, it's a month later. It's like some stuff is obsolete, or I need to change some things around, or I want to add some stuff. So I'm hoping by the end of the spring season, I'll really be able to sit down and finish out. That blog post, we really want to get it out, because obviously there is a mental health aspect to concussions, and when you have kids recovering and athletes recovering from concussions, there are a lot of things that you need to be aware of when it comes to mental health issues.
Gotcha. All right. So I know you're a huge advocate for mental health, but
yes.
What is one of the worst injuries you felt like you've dealt with?
This is always the fun question. I get this all the time from students. one of the worst injuries I've ever seen. I think the hardest one I've ever dealt with, I think that's a better question for me, is my third year at Oakland. We were playing down at Ohio State, and at that year we had a handful of Norwegian players and guys from Europe, and two guys, one of my guy and a guy from Ohio State, they went up for a header, both missed the ball, collided head-to-head, both dropped, and my guy who we had to take to the hospital, we couldn't suture him up on the sidelines, he had north of 35 suture stitches right through the eyebrow, started right up in the forehead and then went into his eyelid. What made that one really difficult was the communication aspect of that. I know very, very little Norwegian, if any at all. We had another guy that spoke really good English. So he was kind of my translator at the same time as I was trying to translate to the nurses and the doctors in the emergency room. It happened right in front of me. And you know, soccer rules are if you have to be waved on for an injury, but that was one of those. That's probably the only time I've ever been onto the field before we were waved on. The gash was so large that I had to grab it closed with a towel. And then we basically had to transport him to the emergency room with me holding the wound closed with the towel over his eyelid. That was a lot of fun. It was a difficult one. I think it's a good ending. He's actually on TV in Norway. He's a sports broadcaster out there. So I think we did a good job and kept his eyelid together. And, he looks good on TV. So
when it split, did it split all the way, like the eyelid was kind of pulled apart?
Yeah.
Or did it remain intact at all?
It remained intact, but it went probably about the top third of his eyelid, went through the eyebrow, top third of his eyelid. We couldn't see through the eyelid to his eye or anything like that, but it was just open that much that he was bleeding everywhere. I went through two or three towels just trying to keep it closed, and any head wound is going to bleed a lot more than anything else, and that was a pretty significant one. So that's always my fun one to talk about. I've seen here at the high school in my 6 years, I've seen 4 femur fractures. Which is, kind of crazy in my opinion. And I've talked to a handful of ER docs, and, they say they have only seen a handful in their career, and they're always like car accidents. And here I've seen them, a basketball player. I saw a kid going over a hurdle and mid-shaft fracture. I had a girl, a soccer player we thought was an ACL at first, and that was just distal. Femoral head, and it wasn't. It was a nasty one there. And then I had a girl carrying a canoe. They do a big camping trip here at Bloomfield Hills High School every year. It's called Man in Nature, and they go out to Killarney Province up in Canada. They spend about a week, a little over a week there, and they carry canoes and they do all kinds of outdoor stuff. And she was actually carrying the canoe and hopped down off of a rock and landed, and she had a kind of the head of her femur fractured up. So, and they're all the way up in Canada. She really didn't know it at the time, and once she got off the bus, she couldn't move at all because they were putting stuff onto the bus and getting home. So she spent about 15 hours in the bus kind of sitting there, a little bit of pain, and once she got off the bus, she was in tremendous amount of pain. So seen a handful of things, but, they've all been easy to deal with.
15 hours riding with the femur fraction on a bus.
Yeah. Imagine that.
It's impressive. The girl that we had fracture her femur, she was alone. She was kicking a soccer ball, just twisted. And then, she was just laying on the ground. It wasn't screaming, crying. Just the only time she screamed was when they applied that traction and put it back in place. And then after that, she was okay. But
yeah, we had last year, a kid was just, he was doing like step overs on hurdle. He wasn't doing a full hurdling practice. It was day before a meet. So, typically around here, they go really, really easy. So he was really just kind of getting his steps over the hurdles, and he only had 2 hurdles set up. And over that second one, he landed at mid-shaft, and we knew it was pretty serious. I mean, it looked like he had 2 knee joints. And I asked his pain scale, and I said, "What's where are you at right now? 1 to 10?" And he goes, oh, man, it's pretty bad. I'd say about a 4 right now. And I'm like, you've got to be kidding me. This kid is an Iron Man, you know. And they put the traction splint. He never winced, never cried or anything like that. So that was a pretty crazy one right there, especially with his reaction to the pain.
Yeah, I don't ever want to experience that. No. But I just it's interesting that there's so many stories of femur fractures, which being such a massive thing where the kids don't really seem all that disturbed. But
right.
All right, tell me about your most memorable moment as an athletic trainer.
A handful of them. I always enjoy when we do rehab with an athlete. You know, you have a kid that's, say it's a season-ending injury, or you know, they're out for a couple weeks, and you see them, hit their kind of rock bottom, and they're struggling to get through stuff, and you know, they don't understand why, you know, their body's acting differently, and you know, you get them through a full rehab, they're healthy 100%, they go back out and play, and they score that first goal, or they come off on the sidelines, and they're just, you know, smiles. That's one of the things that I love about our profession, and you know, those are always big time memorable moments for me. One of my other ones is 2 years ago we won the national championship, Michigan Bucks. So I've been with them for 10 years now, and we've gone to 2 national championships. We lost the first one that I was with them, and when we won back in 2014, that was a lot of fun. I really enjoyed that, and we got a ring and everything, and my face is up on a big poster out in the arena we play at, so it's always fun to walk past that and see that.
Do you stop and take a picture each time?
No, I do. There's a place here where we play. It's called Ultimate Soccer Arenas. It's 3 massive indoor fields. The ceiling's really, really high. They just added a 4th field and an outdoor field, so it's a big complex here. And the nice thing about Michigan is it's the weather's terrible all the time. It's May 19th, and about 2 weeks ago, not even that, I'm sorry, about 3 or 4 days ago, we had snow. And it was, everybody's all grumpy about it, and today it's beautiful, it's 65 and sunny, and, you know, I can't wait to sit out and watch lacrosse tonight. And but, you know, we have a lot of events going on there, so we're actually really close to it from high school, and my athletes are always there with football or soccer, always things like that, and I'll get a random text message or, like a Twitter post or something like that with a picture of myself where they find it. So it's always funny to see that.
I'm not at that level yet. See, I'm just on YouTube. See.
Yeah, yeah. Still famous.
Yeah, well, close enough. Yeah. All right. So you've been involved in quite a bit. So what are some life lessons that you've learned as an athletic trainer?
Oh, man. You know, I try to impart the work-life balance. I have interns from Central Michigan every semester. I'm taking on a couple more interns from Albion College, my alma mater, and I've had a student from St. Louis University come in and intern with me. But I always try to talk to them about the work-life balance. My first couple years in the profession, I didn't have it, and it was very, very tough for me to kind of get out of it. I started to not take care of myself, and it's not a good thing. You know, I want to make sure that anybody that goes into our profession learns to take care of themselves, and they know to stick up for themselves too. That's one of my biggest things that I try to tell my interns is, you know, if something's important to you, it doesn't matter how important work is for you, you have to stick up for yourself and say, hey, I need some time off, and I'm taking this Saturday off, or I can't work 15 days in a row, or that's one of the things I always try to do, or at least tell my interns going forward. But I'm not always the best at doing it myself. I put my athletes a lot in front of me, and it stresses me out, but I know on my end it makes me feel good too, because I know that my athletes are taken care of. I just have to listen to myself a little bit more sometimes.
That always seems to be the story.
Yeah.
All right, so that's kind of some advice you would give, but do you have any other advice that you might give to athletic trainers?
You know, I don't know. I love talking about the profession, and, you know, what can we do to make the profession better? I see it on Twitter, and, there's people that go back and forth, and it's either a yes or no. There's no gray area, but there's also no... you know, the communication can be very harsh, whether it's you're doing this, you know, the right way or you're doing it the wrong way, in my point of view. We need to collaborate more. You know, we really need to do a better job of collaborating and talking about how we're going to go forward with our profession. You know, we're kind of at that cusp right now of being a really, really, you know, recognized profession, and I think we need to do that. And I think we need to collaborate and, you know, listen to each other.
Yeah, on that same note, like until I really started getting on Twitter and, you know, most of the people I follow are athletic trainers, I didn't really know what the national scene was like for athletic trainers, because here in Texas, it's a completely different monster than most other places in the country.
Right.
You know, I didn't know California doesn't have an actual, you don't actually have to be an athletic trainer to be an athletic trainer. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, a lot of places up in your area, the athletic trainers just go to work at like 2 o'clock just for the after school stuff.
Right.
You know, and that kind of thing. So I think the social media is good, but then you get people who wouldn't say stuff to other people's faces, you know, but they'll put it on there. So.
Right. Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. You know, one of the ones that I follow, and I think you follow it too, is the anonymous page. It's great. I love it. But you know, every once in a while you read the feed on it and it's so negative. It gets negative really quick. And it's like, all right, you know, we don't have to always be like this. And, you know, I had mentioned something a couple weeks ago and somebody sent me a nasty message, like, how dare you? Why would you even say something like that? I'm like, hey, listen, I'm trying to come up with an idea of how we can make our profession better. I'm not saying it's the right, you know, way. You know, I'll very rarely ever say that my idea is the right way, but it's an idea. I'd love for people when we can come together and have everybody bring an idea to the table and talk about which idea works the best, or how can we, you know, collaborate on different ideas to make our profession better. I don't think there's a right way for anything. You know, there's always room for communication and collaboration, and how can we make things better as a whole, not just singular.
I definitely agree. I really enjoy learning, and then I think I'm pretty good about not engaging in the negative or the slander, but
yeah,
you know, I think all of us are prey to it sometimes. So
yeah, right. I know there's been plenty of times where I've written out something and I'm like, oh, I gotta be better than that. I gotta be better than the other person. I can't do that to myself. Or you know, it's something you definitely have to do is delete a lot. And you know, when you have a strong opinion on something.
All right. What do you think has been your favorite event that you've covered?
You know, I think it would go back to that 2014 National Championship game. We actually hosted it. We got to host the whole weekend, so it was the semifinal and the final. You know, and we won the first game, the semifinal game. I wouldn't say fairly easily, but, you know, we went ahead. It was 3-1, I think we won. And then when we got to that National Championship game, it was the stress that I'd missed. You know, it's that good stress that's, you know, your stomach's a little in knots because you don't know what's going to happen in that game. But, you know, we scored, we won 1-0, and we scored with, I think, 20 minutes left in the game. And it was a guy who was a defensive player, and he just took the ball and took a shot, and we scored, you know, and that was one of them. We had a good amount of fans there, and but, you know, just to hoist that trophy up was a lot of fun. There's been plenty of other things that I've worked and I've had a lot of fun with. You know, I always talk about my girls' lacrosse team. I love them. We've gone to the state championship with them a couple years ago, and you know, they're just I don't know if they take the sport as seriously as they should, but they seem to have a lot of fun. And if I'm having a bad day and I have to cover that game, I know I'm going to have a, you know, a smile on my face just because they tend to have a lot of fun. There's other sports where they're fun to watch, but I'm not always going to have fun myself. You know, I'm kind of looking at the clock. When can I go home? You know, baseball can be that sometimes because those innings just drag out. but I have fun with it. You know, I love my athletes. I love being around them and taking care of them.
I think my favorite event that I've covered was our fifth round of the playoffs. If we had won that game, we would have gone to the state tournament in boys soccer. Man, it was so exciting because we won, and then we played like a Thursday night, we won. So then we played turnaround, played Friday night, we won. Then we played Saturday morning, and right, that's when we ended up losing. But just that series of events, it was just so exciting to see the guys do so well. And we only lost 2-1. That team ended up winning the state championship. Okay. And so it's like, you know, we were right there. We could have won state had we had, you know.
Yeah. About 3 years ago, our boys' basketball team, we had four guys. They started from the freshman year, and you just kind of knew their freshman year that they were going to be a special group. You know, when you see that special group go through, and that first year, their freshman year, we got bounced out of the state playoffs that first game. We lost by like 45 points, and their senior year, they took us to the state finals. We play the state finals here up at Michigan State. So, you know, any big basketball fan around here, you know, in the area, when you go out to Michigan State, it's I'm a Michigan fan, but even being on that state campus and being in that arena, it's special. And when you see the students are having a good time and you can tell that they know it's special, it makes it a little bit more special for yourself too. So I had a lot of fun.
Very cool. All right. So tell me, who are three people you would like to thank and why?
Three people I would like to thank. I think one of the first people is Tom Ford. He's the head athletic trainer at Oakland University. He's the person who gave me my first job. I still talk with him a lot. We still communicate. I've seen him, or I saw him a couple weeks ago. We were at an event, and it's always a mentor of mine, and like I said, he gave me my first job. Tim Caberna, who is the head athletic trainer of Hope College. He was the head athletic trainer at Albion College when I was there. Hope is actually our big rivalry school, so you know, he's somebody that I look up to a lot. God, there's so many. I feel like there's so many people. One of the other people is Chuck Middleton. He's also at Albion College now. He's actually a PT. He works out in Marshall, Michigan, so it's out on the west side. And he was my internship coordinator, or the person I had my internship while I was in college. So I learned a lot about the high school and what I wanted to do from there, and just a fun time being there. So I try to think that I model my interns or my internship with students after how he did it.
All right. Did you get all three of them?
I think so, yeah. Yeah, I did get all three.
Okay. So we have a listener jumping in, and I was just trying to make sure that they didn't cut you off or something. So,
yeah.
All right. Well, John, I really appreciate you being a regular participant in the Sports Medicine Broadcast, being involved in, you know, Twitter conversations or being involved in the show and the chat room and adding questions and knowledge to and experience to the podcast in general. So, and then contributing, obviously, a couple weeks ago during March as we talked about mental health. So thank you, sir.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's been a pleasure. I really, you know, it's fun being a part of that show. And I just, you know, like I said, it's all about communicating and collaborating with us as athletic trainers. I think this has been such a great great avenue for us to sit and watch or to hear from other people. It's great. Usually, you know, when you are on, it's right when I'm getting into work. And if I'm doing paperwork or something like that, it's nice to just pop it on my computer and listen. And you know, if I have a question or just to read other people's questions, just because there's so much out there that we know. I mean, athletic trainers are, we really are the jack of all trades. And when you have people that specialize in other things, it's great. And it's a lot of fun to learn from them.
Well, thank you for the kind words. And again, I appreciate you being on. And then maybe if I'm ever up in Michigan, I'll give you a holler.
Absolutely. That'd be great.
All right, John. Thank you, sir.
Absolutely. We'll talk to you later.